This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24-7 home of the black and gold. SNR. Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome to The Drive. I'm Dale Lally here with Matt Williamson. And Matt, it's a Tuesday. That means Mike Tomlin addressed the media today for the first time since the Steelers beat the Eagles 38-29 on Sunday. And had some good news on the injury front. It looks like he expects Marquise Pouncey to play in this game. Deontay Johnson to be back as well. I reported that last night that was the case.
Mm-hmm.
Not such good news on David DeCastro.
I knew that's the one that worried you the most.
Yeah, that was the one that the person that I talked to said that they're the most concerned about.
Mm-hmm.
Tomlin left the door open for that to happen, but I don't know that it's going to necessarily.
Okay. That's an ab injury, right?
Yeah.
He
called it a strain, which is a good thing. It's an abdominal strain.
I was going to say, just reading between the lines there, it doesn't sound like it's going to be months.
No, it's not.
The week type of thing.
Right.
Well, that's not too bad.
You know, so not so bad there. Also said that they could possibly get Derek Watt and Marcus Allen back for this game as well. So they would be going into it relatively healthy.
You mentioned him yesterday. Any Wisniewski news?
I wanted to ask him about that, and we ran out of time.
Okay.
So.
That
might be something I'll save for maybe Randy Fichter tomorrow to see where he's going with that. But he went on injured reserve after the first week.
Mm-hmm.
That was looked at as a 4 to 6 week thing. So he's
in the neighborhood then.
Yeah, we're 4 to 5 weeks now, so he should be getting close. So they're getting to the point now where they're getting a little more healthy. And certainly when you look around the league, my God, Vita Vea, goes on IR last night with a broken leg. We saw what happened to Dak Prescott.
They're falling left and right. I mean, absolutely.
Big-time players,
yeah. Just to focus on the Steelers' interior O-line, though, quickly, I mean, the Pouncey news is huge. I don't think any of us were real optimistic.
Missing one of the two is not the end of the world.
Right.
If you'd have been missing both he and DeCastro, that's troublesome.
That's troublesome, especially with Wisniewski out.
Right.
And I actually think DeCastro is a slightly better player, but I would rather he be the one of the two out.
It's a bigger drop-off
from
Pouncey to J.C. Hasenauer than it is from DeCastro to Kevin Dotson.
Yeah, and I thought Dotson,
he does some really good things.
I mean, he's way ahead of where I thought he'd be. He's very powerful. Just this past week, he had some gaffes. I mean,
he had a couple of penalties in that game, Sonny. It was not a perfect game for him.
No, I mean, he got downfield. I mean, things like that.
Yeah, holding penalty in an illegal downfield. Those can't happen.
And just watching, isolating on him, I thought his protection was pretty good.
He held his own against Fletcher Cox.
Yeah, and that's
like
a handful.
Yeah.
I mean, he gives DeCastro problems. I didn't think that he or really any of the linemen got a lot of push in the run game.
Right.
I mean, that's a really difficult front to move. But to me, he's passed every test so far.
You have to like his trajectory where he's heading with his career. I mean, certainly, they've got guys who are going to be free agents at the end of this year. And
He's
showing that he could possibly be an answer for a big question down the road.
He may be the starting left guard next year, or who knows?
Very good chance.
Right.
Yeah, you have to like that. The fact that he's showing that and proving that he can step in the middle of a game and he can start as he did a couple of weeks ago, or he can step in the middle of the game and not against a really. Maybe the most difficult matchup in the league in terms of the right guard.
Yeah, it's about as bad as it gets.
Yeah. I mean, Aaron Donald doesn't usually line up. He'll move around, but he typically lines up on the left side.
Sure.
Cam Hayward is typically on the left side.
And they'll rotate guys in.
Yeah.
And, I mean, if
Fletcher Cox is as good a guy that lines up over the right guard as there is in this league.
Yeah, I mean, that's a difficult assignment. And, again, he keeps passing every test. I'm excited about the future for him. He's ahead of the curve. Didn't think we'd see him at all this year. But kind of to your point, for the short term, I don't think it's like the Eagles' O-line, for example.
Right,
boy, we got all these holes all over the place. I think I'm very comfortable with him starting a game or two or getting you out of a game or, you know, those type of things. He's proven to be reliable enough.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, there's certainly other cases around the league where you look at that and teams are putting backups in and or their starters, for that matter.
Yeah, right.
I mean, the guys that they lined up with to start week one are not good.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the Steelers have had to deal with some O-line injuries throughout the year, some shuffling and, you know, some backups that went down too, Wisniewski. And I think they've fared better than most teams would, that's for sure.
Yeah, and we talked about that before the season started, that their depth was better on the line than most other teams. The Browns' depth is going to be tested this week. They're going to have to kick Chris Hubbard inside the guard.
Yeah.
He has never started a game at guard before
really?
In his career.
That surprises me. I thought
he was always a swing tackle.
Yeah.
Little light.
A mauler.
Yeah.
Right.
He'll have his hands full with Stephon Tuitt on that side.
That's a good point. Yeah, I mean, Wyatt Teller is a guy that everyone seems to be raving about all of a sudden, and he's a good player. I don't know that he turned into the, you know, a superstar.
Incredible Hulk. You know, right, he's not John Hanna.
He's fine, but yeah. For some reason, he's the talk of the guard world lately. And Hubbard, they're obviously going to be, you know, familiar with him. You're right. He's definitely a little more of a movement tackle.
He's a finesse player,
in space. Yeah, and he's not a hammer. And they run a lot. Everyone knows that they run, you know, the basic Shanahan zone read nonsense, you know, stuff that's very standard. But they do a lot more than that this year, too. I mean, we're sitting here watching a game, watching O-line play with just hold after hold.
That's a hold every day of the week.
And they still don't call it.
Ingram still got to the quarterback there, but my God, he had his arms around him.
It's aggravating, to be honest. I mean, I can't even.
His hands were on the backside of his pads, of Ingram's pads.
He's hugging him and holding him with a handful of cloth. And
that's not a penalty.
That's not a penalty. Yeah, we're sitting here watching NFL Network as we chat.
It's just frustrating.
It is. Those kind of things need to be called more.
Because if you can do that, anybody can play on the offensive line.
That's the thing is, you know, why are all these conversions on third down? Well, if you can't get to the quarterback, I mean, if they're not going to call anything, it's
if you can put your that player the Saints left tackle there, who's their backup?
Is that Armstead? I couldn't.
I thought Armstead was out.
He started the game. I don't know if he got hurt or
okay.
not.
So it's Teron Armstead, who's one of the best left tackles in the league. And if you're going to allow him to grab the back of the – he had his hands on the backsides
– He had
of
on the nameplate, basically, right. Two of them.
On both sides, on the backside, and it wasn't called a hold. He still got driven back into the quarterback. But, my goodness, if you're not going to call that
– And to your point, though, I mean, if it's – third-string guys, like the Eagles. I mean, frankly, I mean, we saw so many potential holds there or flat-out holds that weren't called. Real quick, what I was saying about the Browns, I just want to go back over just for a second, was, yeah, they run a lot of zone, and they run a lot of stuff off that, as Shanahan systems do. But they'll run power. They'll run doubles. It's not exclusively just five dancing bears. I mean, they'll come off and try to hammer you. I mean,
I don't think that they're going to have a lot of success running the football against the Steelers.
I bet not. I haven't given it a ton of thought, but if they do, I think it'll be because it's a close game. It's 13-10. They keep sticking with it, punt. You know, beginning of the fourth quarter runs around, and then all of a sudden the dam starts to break a little bit. You know, like I could see that situation, but I don't think they'll come out and just – gash the Steelers from day one. You know, I mean, like they have a couple teams.
Yeah, I just don't see that happening. And I sent you some numbers last night on Baker Mayfield that I want to get to in the next segment. But
startling.
Shocking. No, shocking stuff. Tom Reed sent me one snippet of that about the fourth quarter passer rating, and then I started delving into it a little bit more. And I'm like, holy mackerel.
Wow.
But they didn't run the ball as well last week against the who did they play last week? The Eagle or the Colts.
The Colts.
The Colts are a good defense, but they were missing Darius Leonard in that game.
They were missing Leonard. The Browns had to lead a high percentage of the time, too. You know, it wasn't like they couldn't.
And they still didn't run the ball
as well as
they had.
No. I mean, Hunt ended up with a decent day, and then Johnson got a little bit of like garbage time at the end. It wasn't a bad day on the ground, but it was not a dominant performance at all by the run game. And Hunt's a really good player. But Chubb's a really, really good player.
Yeah, Chubb's a special player. Like, when Hunt came into the league, the book on him was, he wasn't going to break off a lot of runs. And I remember the Steelers played him in Kansas City his rookie year, and it was in like week 8 or 9. And in the first like 8 weeks of the season, he had like a 40-yard run in every game.
Right, it was
exact
shocking.
Opposite of what the book on him was. And then the second half of that season, he didn't have.
Mm-hmm.
It was more
it's a hard thing to maintain. Yeah.
And that was more the Eagle or the Andy Reid scheming it up to get him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hey, we're going to run Tyreek deep here, and he's going to when he breaks the line of scrimmage, he's got nothing but green in front of him.
Yeah, he's not super fast. He has very good contact balance, and if he's going to break long runs, it's probably run through an arm tackle, bounce off another, find daylight, run until somebody catches him.
The secondary's in man, and they're all downfield. And
Right. Yeah, it makes perfect sense. Or they blitz the sell out on Mahomes, and you know he had a lot of long plays off screen passes.
Well, he was
He's
there
a
with
really good receiver.
Alex Smith. I mean, that was the quarterback then.
So
not nearly as fearsome as Mahomes, but you still had to account for Kelce. You still had to account for Tyreek Hill's speed.
Mm-hmm.
That was the perfect storm for Kareem Hunt at that time. He's a good back.
He is a good back.
I don't know that he's a great back.
I agree. I mean, I think he starts for half the league.
Right. He would start for the Steelers.
He's better than anyone in the Steelers.
Yeah, he is.
I
don't know that he's – I don't fear him like you fear Nick Chubb.
No. I mean, Chubb is
– Chubb can break it on you. Chubb is, you know, Saquon Barkley, Miles Sanders, those kind of guys. A big guy with speed that can really hurt you if he gets into the secondary.
He also has phenomenal balance and vision and, you know, strength and power and burst. I mean, Chubb's about as good a ball carrier as there is in the league right now.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if you look at what the Browns have done on offense this year, they're scoring points.
They are.
But it's turnover-driven.
Yes, I think they're plus five or something.
They've forced 12 turnovers already this year. And, of course, now they've played the Bengals. They played Washington. Mm-hmm. They forced a bunch of turnovers. Well, I don't know if they forced the turnovers against the Cowboys, but the Cowboys turned it over.
Right.
Which has that's been Dallas's Achilles heel this year, even more so than their defense.
Yeah,
that high-powered offense is turning the football over, and
yeah,
just can't do that.
Yeah.
You know, the Colts turned it over. They had five turnovers against Washington. They're not going to get five turnovers in this game.
No, right.
They forced three turnovers against the Cowboys early in that football game, and that put Dallas behind.
That's obviously a huge key.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe that is the key, I mean, the more I think about
But week one, they forced one turnover against the Ravens. They got smoked in that game. Week two against the Bengals, they forced one turnover, and it was a 35-30 game.
Yeah.
So if they don't get turnovers –
They have been aided. The offense has been aided a little
because their defense is trash.
Myles Garrett, I was watching.
It's Myles Garrett and nothing
else.
He's
so good. And Ward and some of their D linemen are all right, but their linebackers, safeties, second corners, their back seven minus Ward is bad.
Put it this way, they've thrown for 1,031 yards this season in five games.
The Browns have.
Yeah. They've allowed 1,569 yards in five games. It's over 300 yards a game that they're giving up through the air and 12 touchdown passes.
Wow.
People are complaining about this Steelers secondary allowing 237 passing yards a game and have given up eight touchdowns in four games. These guys are worse.
I'm going to say Dallas has a lot to do with that, but they also played Washington, like you said.
Right.
You know, it's not like it's all –
They played Washington. They gave up a bunch of passing yards to the Bengals, and that was with, you know – Burrow's second career game, it's just not high level defensive play. Sendejo at the safety position might be the worst starting safety in the league.
He's questionable.
He's a special teams player.
He's a special team.
That's what he's been his entire career, and now all of a sudden he's a starter for the Browns.
Yeah, I mean, getting Myles Garrett, but I'm sure we'll talk a lot about Garrett all week. Getting him blocked up will prove difficult. I think he's better than he was last year, but the matchups you're going to get on the back end, Ward can only cover one guy.
313.8 yards passing per game.
Wow.
That they're giving up.
Wow.
And they've played Phillip Rivers. And they've played Dwayne Haskins.
Exactly. Dak's the only real good one.
And, you know, Jackson really hasn't –
He didn't throw all over.
He didn't throw the much in that first game, you know.
Right.
He had 270, but that's been his best game of the year.
Mm-hmm.
He's not been lighting it up throwing the football.
Yeah, that is – startling. And again, I think the middle of the field can be had. The other corners can be had. It's not a great matchup for them. Not the Steelers are a good matchup for anyone anymore when the Steelers have the ball, but they don't have – I mean, Deontay, I think, is the number one, and we'll see a lot of Ward. But it doesn't mean the 2, 3, 4, 5 are that.
Yeah,
much
who's
different.
Who's covering Chase Claypool? Who's covering Juju?
Right,
who's covering
right.
the tight end?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody.
I mean, I think Ebron could have a big day.
Oh,
right.
Yeah. You know? I think they could do whatever they want to against that defense.
Yeah.
Just don't turn the football over.
Don't exactly. Back to your point, that seems like the key. And Ben's been phenomenal at that.
Yeah, one really turnover has. In the first four games.
Yeah.
Just been great. I think it's easily maybe the it's the most efficient four-game stretch of his career, I think. He's had better, more explosive four-game
sure,
stretches.
Sure, he's had some huge games.
Yeah, back-to-back huge games. There was a stretch, I think, in 2015 where he had, like, I don't know, 12 touchdown passes in three straight home games.
Yeah. Right.
You know,
I mean, he's a monster.
But he would turn the ball over from time to time, too.
Mm-hmm.
He's not doing that. He's not
no,
putting
he's not.
And he's, you know, one of the stats that, you know, a couple years ago when you were talking about it, well, he's a little bit in decline, was the balls that he put in, you know, that he threw that could have been or could have been intercepted.
Yeah, some of these guys have like near interception stats and things like
those
that.
Those aren't happening this
no,
year.
No, it's not like he just got lucky and, you know, I mean,
he's just not putting the ball in harm's way.
I
can't think of very many times where opponents have dropped interceptions on him.
Right. And meanwhile, they are dropping him on Mayfield. He's not doing that at all.
Yeah.
They've created 12 turnovers. I mean, that's almost unsustainable. I mean, that's very unsustainable. What, the Steelers were at 30 or whatever last year?
38, yeah.
38, I mean, yeah, okay.
With a much better defense.
With a much better defense.
These are street guys that they've got forcing these turnovers. It's just not going to hold up.
I mean, I think there's a great chance the Steelers win the turnover battle.
I would think so, yeah.
I expect Mayfield to put the ball in harm's way.
Yeah, in fact, in their they've played three. They turned the ball over three times against the Ravens.
Okay.
They've turned the ball over three times in their other four games combined.
Hmm.
They're not. That's not who they are. That's
not who
Baker Mayfield is.
No, right. I mean, I don't think Hunt's considered a fumbler, but Mayfield puts the ball. He doesn't see things great. I don't think he's playing noticeably better, even though they're winning. He's going to have a lot of tall, long bodies around him, you know, disturbing sight lanes.
And I had somebody bring up, well, you know, they played Washington because they were talking about how their offensive line has held up pretty well this year in terms of pass grades. And I'm like, well, who have they played that has a great pass rusher? The Ravens don't.
No, they don't.
They're scheme-based, pass rushing team. The Bengals really don't.
No, I don't think
Washington does, but he didn't play in that game.
Chase Young didn't play.
Chase Young didn't play. Dallas doesn't have one anymore.
Not so much.
And the Colts have Justin Houston, but it's really the ghost of Justin Houston at this point. I mean,
they did a good job against Buckner.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm impressed with the Browns line. It's way better than it was.
It's played well.
It has.
But it's going to be tested this week.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Without
much
question.
More so than it's been tested in any other game.
That's the thing is there's so many – at least above average pass rushers that they'll be facing.
Somebody's going to have a matchup.
Right.
And I think it could be Tua this week. Tua got to the quarterback a lot last week.
Mm-hmm.
He ended up, I think, with 1.5 sacks, but he was real close a couple of other times. And again, if they call some holding penalties,
it wouldn't hurt, too. We haven't talked about him much, which I feel like no one's really talking about him, but I think he's not getting the credit for being as disruptive as he has.
He's very disruptive, yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody was talking about Alu and, you know,
the rest
of the guys. Tuitt's Tuitt.
He's playing really well.
Yeah.
Right, he's playing really well.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, I got some numbers on Baker Mayfield
that are shocking.
Just shocking, and we'll get to those right after this. He is Matt Williamson. I am Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio. Welcome back. I'm Dale Lally here with Matt Williamson. Matt, there's a lot of talk that suddenly Baker Mayfield has figured it out.
Right.
He's
they're winning games.
They're winning games, yep. So he has obviously figured things out.
Right.
They're 4-1. Must be Baker Mayfield, you know.
Just like Chicago's 4-1, so their quarterback situation's solved.
Perfect, yes.
Right.
Just ducky. If you look at Baker Mayfield's numbers, however.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing what he always does. Actually, he's worse this year than he typically does, other than the interceptions.
Right now, he has valued the football a little better.
His completion percentage is 61.2, which is actually less than his career average.
And
less than the league average.
I'm saying the league has moved up a lot in that.
Yeah. 976 passing yards in five games. So he's not even averaging 200 yards a game.
And I saw today, this past week, they threw a lot early in the game, especially on early downs. It wasn't just run.
Right.
I mean, they came out in the first half and he threw a lot.
Yeah, he threw, I think, 37 passes last week or something like that.
And didn't light it up.
His yards per attempt is 6.4. His career average is 7.3. Mm-hmm. So he's not going down the field.
No, not as much.
Nine touchdown passes, four interceptions. Okay.
That's good.
Right. That's a good ratio. That's not bad.
You'll take that for him.
Right.
I don't know if it'll keep up.
When you dig deeper into his numbers, these are the ones that are just shocking.
Before you reveal that, I just want to let everyone know, too, he's doing that with a healthy Odell, where last year Odell was a shell of himself. Like, his receivers are pretty good.
And a really good running game.
And a tight end they invested in. And, you know, right, his protection's better. Like, people are helping him more than they have in past years, too.
Thus far this season, when in the second half of games, this is all five of their games.
Okay.
The second half, he is 26 of 51. That's a 51% completion percentage.
Mm-hmm.
For 231 yards. This is in five games, mind you. Five games.
231 yards.
One touchdown, three interceptions. He's accumulated four, he's passed for 14 first downs in five games.
In the second half.
They haven't had to use him much in the second half. But B, when they have, he's been awful.
It's not like they're blowing people out, though.
He's got a 45 passer rating in the second half of games.
Yeah, you told me that. That's really, really
You get
bad.
A 39.6 for spiking the ball into the ground.
Yeah, right. And again, it wasn't like the games have been over in the second half. That they're just blowing people out.
It's not like they're killing people, no.
No, and then they're just going to lean on Jerome and, you know, just mash people into the ground. I mean, they've had to throw. They've had to – more have been asked of them. It's not so good. And I think he passes the eyeball test a little better than last year, you know, but he's still underwhelming to me. He's not super talented, to be honest with you. I mean, his first overall picks go, I've never seen one less talented than him.
In the fourth quarter of games this year, he's 7 for 18.
Wow.
This is five games worth of passing.
Yeah,
he's thrown 18 fourth quarter passes, and he's only completed 7 of them. So he has
7 completions in fourth quarter.
For 62 yards... one touchdown, two interceptions. That's a 27.8 passer rating. That's less. They'd have been, better off if he just stood up and spiked the ball into the ground.
Yeah, exactly, right. I mean, that's well over a full game. It's five quarters of football, and you have 7 completions in those five quarters.
It's bad.
Yeah, in games that are close.
Right. The third quarter's not much better. He's 19 of 33 for 169 yards, no touchdown passes, one interception. That's a 58.8 passer rating.
Hmm.
Again, this is in a year where the league average is over 100.
Yeah. Wow. And you would think at that point play action's clicking a little bit more. You already had a lot of success on the ground. You have an offensive-minded coach who's starting to figure defenses out. Your protection's been good. You know, you should start dealing and really feeling your oats there at that point. You know, at that point in those games.
To your point about the play action versus non-play action stuff, he is 21 of 34 when they use play action. 225 yards, four touchdowns, one interception. That's a 108.1 passer rating, which
is why we like the higher.
Way above his yearly numbers. When they don't use play action with him, his passer rating is 83.
Hmm.
That is a Mitch Trubisky-like 83.
Yeah, right. That's a very pedestrian for today's
NFL. Five touchdowns, three interceptions.
Huh.
Like, he's really he's producing when they run play action. He's not producing. He is who he is.
I mean, it's a great example to me of what a crutch play action can be for some of these guys, the Kirk Cousins of the world. Bigger picture, I was actually asked this today, and I wanted to run it by you. Like, I was asked for my podcast, what do you think the Browns will do, or what would you do contractually with Baker? Like, big picture. It's tough. And then I went into like a long diatribe and said, someday in the offseason, I want to have a whole podcast about, is it better to invest $30 million in Cousins, Baker, Jimmy, or just use that money on Stephon Diggs and, you know,
they've got other pieces. But they've got pieces around him.
I know, but I mean,
that's the,
you'll lose them if you have to invest $30 million in a quarterback.
And that's the problem with a guy like Baker Mayfield. I'm looking at his...
Who might be good, but is never going to be great and is going to have to always be schemed around.
I'm looking at his career fourth quarter numbers. This is nothing new. This is his career.
Mm-hmm.
This is who he is, because he's got a 74.8 passer rating in the fourth quarter in his career.
And that's a pretty big body of work.
That's a big – he's 294 passes. He's completing 58% of his passes in the fourth quarter, 15 interceptions. That's when
– that's awesome work by you digging it up, and I'm shocked that's not, like, more common knowledge in every article you read about Baker. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's a
when
big
when
trend.
The pressure's on,
yeah,
he
when
folds.
It matters most, right?
Yeah.
Wow. And, again, along those lines, like – I answered that question with, well, the Steeler fan in me hopes they extend him and give him $30 million a year and are happy with him. Because if you go
let's say they win 9 or 10 games this year.
Which seems very possible.
They're going to extend him.
See, well, what I said is, that I think no matter what at this point, his fifth-year option will get picked up. Then, if he has a similar year, you almost have to extend him. But... is that a good move? Again, I mean, should Washington have hung on to Cousins and been in somewhat of quarterback purgatory for a while with a good but not great player? It's hard to just let that guy go that you've had around for 4 or 5 years and has played pretty well or, you know, decent. But I think you're better off not giving a mediocre starter $30 million and just taking another dip in the draft and see what happens.
The problem is if you win, you know, let's say he gets you to 8 or 9 wins in the next 2 years, you're not going to be in a position to draft a guy.
Not a top guy.
Yeah.
Right.
So, you know.
It's a weird situation.
You're damned if you do and damned if you don't. Mm-hmm. You know, he's the face of the franchise for better or worse right now. He's on all kinds of, you know, TV commercials.
I'm sure he's on every billboard in Cleveland. And right.
Did he know somebody to get all these Progressive commercials? Seriously.
It's pretty crazy.
Yeah. A more mediocre quarterback has never been thrown out there more, like – Lamar Jackson doesn't have any national commercials.
I mean, he started, 10 games his rookie year?
Yeah.
Won Rookie of the Year over Barkley, and everyone thought he was the next coming, which never added up to me even then. I mean, his stock was through the roof. That's when he's getting
played
nobody. His stats were fine, but they weren't great. He set the all-time record for quarterback touchdowns. Well, Herbert's going to break it this year. Burrow's going to break it this year. I mean, like,
yeah,
that record's not going to be one that lasts.
It's a house of cards.
Yeah.
It's a meaningless record.
People throw a lot of touchdowns.
Meaningless
record. He threw a ton of picks.
What's your record?
Yeah.
That's the rookie. You know, when Roethlisberger broke the rookie record for wins with 13, that's a meaningful record.
That's a meaningful record. Yeah. Not most touchdowns thrown. I mean, you're losing all the time and you throw a couple touchdowns late in the game. That doesn't mean much.
Yeah. Blake Bortles had a 35 touchdown season.
Right. And I really like Justin Herbert. He threw 4 touchdowns last night
and
still
hasn't
won a game.
Yeah.
I mean, he still hasn't won a game. Right.
Even more damning here. Baker Mayfield, over the course of his career, trailing with less than 2 minutes, or just more, trailing with 2 minutes to go, 23 of 47. It's a 48% completion percentage.
And a lot of those are easy throws.
Yeah.
You're like, we'll give you the middle of the field, dump it, clock.
Think back to his rookie year when they were playing the Ravens, and they need a field goal to beat the Ravens or send it in, whatever it was, to send it into overtime. And the Steelers would have gone to the playoffs, and he throws just an awful interception at the end of that game.
Right. Week 17.
Yeah, this is who he is. 3 touchdown passes, 4 interceptions. That's a 54.7%. trailing with 4 minutes to go, completes 54% of his passes.
Wow.
He's just awful in those situations. In a game that's tied with more than 4 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, 5 of 10, he's got a 30.8 passer rating.
The tied one doesn't stick with me as much as the other ones because, you know, just because they're the Browns, if they were losing – at 4 minutes left in the game, 2 minutes left in the game, a lot of them they're losing by
a lot, yeah.
And you're just throwing prevent defenses, and they're giving you completions, so you take time off the clock. Like, I'm curious. I've never even thought of this before, but I wonder what completion percentages are like late in games. I bet they're higher than middle games because there's a lot of off coverage. We'll give you the completions.
Not for Baker.
Not for Baker.
No, right. He struggles. His career fourth quarter completion percentage, 58.8.
It's bad, yeah.
It's bad. That's really bad, well, right? Below average. I mean, an average quarterback, last year was like 65%.
And a lot of it's devised off play action and boots and things that he's really comfortable with. And I would be shocked if he has a very high ADOT. I mean, I don't think he's driving the ball down the field a very, very high percentage of the time. And then the other numbers, I don't have them handy, but I know they're startling. Is the if you add up his interceptions, fumbles, and passes that are batted down at the line of scrimmage, it's worse than Jameis Winston, I bet.
Yeah.
Three numbers. It's remarkable.
He's just not a good quarterback.
No. I mean,
they can fool themselves all they want into thinking that he is, and mm-hmm. They're 4-1. That's great.
Sure.
But
he's done good things. He's not terrible. I mean, he's not Trubisky, but I think he's closer to Trubisky than he is Burrow or Herbert or one of these young, promising dudes.
Yeah. His career record, he's 5-12 on the road in his career.
Ooh.
Just, 12-6 at home. He just this past week.
Yeah, I heard that.
Picked up the win that he needed to become, to pass Ben Roethlisberger.
Knocked Ben off his,
as the winningest quarterback in
the Browns building.
Browns building, yeah.
Wow.
That took him 2.5 years to get there.
Ben owning that record is one of the funniest and best NFL stats in the last 10 years.
Well, he probably won't own it after this year.
Oh, no, it's gone. Owned it ever is
for that long,
to me and very, very funny.
And he missed a couple games up there.
And he didn't play every time, right. That's what's crazy.
But this Browns, they haven't won. The Browns haven't won in Pittsburgh since 2003.
Yeah.
2003. That's pre-Ben.
That's pre-Ben, right. Ben's never lost to them here.
Yeah.
Back to Baker, too. I mean, he was the first overall pick. Well, what was his calling card? He was very, very accurate, but it was Big 12 throwing to
the same thing. Same thing we said about Mason Rudolph. Oh, he's very accurate, and it hasn't translated to the NFL because it's
big windows throwing to better receivers than the people covering you with a good scheme and time to throw. And if Mayfield doesn't have, I might even say good accuracy. I mean Drew Brees accuracy. He's not going to be successful. I mean, he needs to be ridiculously accurate and timing-based because he's not going to make a lot of improv plays. He's not physically overwhelming. Like, those things aren't going to change.
Yeah.
I mean, he has to be a high-end accuracy guy. And it's even more to it than just his accuracy percentage, which you just stated isn't very good to begin with. It's ball placement. It's hitting your guy right in stride, Bill Walsh, 6 inches in front of the numbers, that kind of stuff. And he's not that guy.
Yeah, it's just not who he is.
Mm-mm.
So we'll continue to take a look at that as the week goes on here. But those were startling numbers that
they really are.
Last night. He is Matt Williamson. I'm Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk a little more Steelers and Browns right after this.
You're tuned to The Drive on your 24-7 home of the black and gold. Steelers Nation Radio.
Former Steelers running back Le'Veon Bell made it back into the lineup with the Jets last week after sitting out the last 3 weeks with a hamstring injury. And a report surfaced today that the Jets are now trying to trade Le'Veon Bell. They tried last year at the trade deadline.
Right.
They just signed
him. The weirdest marriage ever.
Yeah. Adam Gase essentially said he didn't want him to begin with.
Right, like the day after they signed the guy.
Yeah.
It's a pretty big money. I mean, not what he wanted here, obviously. And
4 years, $52.5 million with a bunch of that guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
You're stuck with him.
I think you're stuck with him.
Yeah.
I mean, he's like a $6 million cap hit this year or something like that.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, first off, he's not going to be a Steeler. You know,
no.
We can just squash that, I think, right now. I'm not sure if he's better than what the Steelers have right now. I lean towards yes. But the thing with Bell, and the Jets never did this, you got to cater your run game to his very, very unique style.
Right.
And they never used him much as a receiver, as good as he's been in that department.
Here's the problem with Le'Veon Bell. The base salary is $8.5 million this year.
Mm-hmm.
It's $8 million next year. It's $9.5 million in 2022. Now, they have an out after this year, after 2021. But he would be, you know, $4 million in dead cap space next year, $2 million in dead cap space in 2022. He will not be a New York Jet after this season.
No, they know that.
Everybody knows that.
Everybody knows that.
Yeah.
Like, I think they'd get rid of him for a six-round pick.
But he's $17 million dead cap space this year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, who's going to give you a pick for Le'Veon? It just makes no sense. He's
position, at his age, recent usage hasn't been great. He looks good.
I mean, Bill O'Brien's no longer in the league, so.
Right. I mean, I'm just scanning the league in my head as we have this conversation, thinking, who would even kick the tires? You know, like Miami? No, they're rebuilding. I mean, their running back situation is not great. I mean, I'm struggling. Like Dalvin Cook's out, but not for long. McCaffrey's
coming back. They get Madison. They're not worried about
right.
that.
The Giants certainly aren't going to invest in a running back with all the problems they have. You know, I mean, a team like Seattle or someone, it has to be somebody that's in it. And even then,
they're all healthy at the running back position.
Right, right. I mean, if you wanted to use them as a spare part,
if the Browns lost Kareem Hunt on Sunday, maybe they would be interested.
Maybe, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't have a ton. They probably have some cap space. Maybe. It brings me to a bigger conversation too, because I think this year, I think Gase will get fired before long, sometime in this year.
It's been way too long already.
Yeah, it's a bad situation. But Bell leading the parade. I could see the Texans, Falcons, and Jets unloading some dudes. And maybe even Julio, maybe even JJ, maybe
it's
even
tough
Matt
to do,
Ryan.
Though. And here's why. Because
it's
of
the same conversation.
The uncertainty of next year's salary cap.
All those guys are expensive.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you don't have to pay his signing bonus and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. But it's still an $8 million salary next year.
Right. And what's Julio making? What's Matt Ryan making?
And you wouldn't owe that. You could cut that guy at the end of the season and not owe that.
Mm-hmm.
But you gave up the draft pick, which may be more valuable because it's cheap labor next year.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and that's a good point. I mean, I wonder, are GMs, smart GMs, valuing draft picks for this upcoming draft even more than usual?
Yeah.
If
he was in the last year of his contract,
you just rent him for the year.
And you're just renting him, and then you're going to get the comp pick back, you know, if he signs somewhere else, then it's more valuable. But
yes.
For a guy with 2 years left on his deal, if you're just going to cut him at the end of the year, it's just not worth it.
I mean, he'd have to blow you away to keep him, and chances of that happening.
I don't even know if you give up a seven for that.
Right.
Unless you think you're going to get a bunch of comp picks this year. Well, we're going to get 3 7th round comp picks this year. We can give up a 7th.
I mean, you better have a chunk of money under your cap right now.
And what are you trading, what are you trading for Julio Jones at this point? He can't stay healthy. What are you trading for, Matt Ryan
the quarterback,
Sam Darnold? I mean,
you
can't carry that amount of cap space.
Right. Yeah, you can't just throw Matt Ryan on. Like, Dallas can't just add Matt Ryan.
Right. I mean, Indianapolis, I guess, could. They've got cap space.
They could.
But it's a quarterback. He's going to have to learn your system. It's not going to be like, oh, hey, we're going to trade for this guy
mid-season. November,
plug him in.
Right. I also worry Matt Ryan, 2021 Matt Ryan might be 2020 Phillip Rivers. And I don't mean that as a compliment.
He's trending in that direction,
right. He's taking a lot of beating. He doesn't move well. He's old. Doesn't like to get hit as much. He doesn't turn the ball over like Rivers, but –
that could happen.
See him in a new uniform and just never looking.
You
right,
put him. You put know? Him in. You know, somewhere where he's got to play outdoors a lot, and all of a sudden,
right, looking cold.
Yeah.
He was always bad in the north anyway. The one I thought was interesting though is the Niners. Shanahan and Ryan played together, or were together, went to Super Bowls, and they're gonna be getting a little sick of Jimmy. What do you mean?
He's 20-7 as a starter.
Right.
He's
Jimmy
G.
Get out of that contract quickly, from what I understand, that Jimmy's not all that confining, that maybe they would make that move. You know, stick Ryan in San Fran for a year or two.
Yeah, I
don't love it.
I don't love it either.
To be playing that game.
Yeah.
But, I mean, just because Brady and Rivers moved this year doesn't.
They were way more talented players than.
Right, and Rivers shouldn't have moved anyway. I mean, we said that.
Yeah, you know, just wasn't a good
move to begin with. They're paying for it now.
But I just don't know. I mean, to your point about maybe seeing a bunch of guys move, mm-hmm. I just don't know that it's possible this year unless the guy's in the last year of his contract. And I
Julio's the one I could maybe see. I mean, I'm sure he's making a ton. He's always injured, but he always plays through it. Like, his injuries, I think.
He didn't last week.
I know. But what if you're the Packers and Julio Jones sounds awful nice next to Adams? Or
yeah, except next year his base salary is $15.3 million.
Oh, I figured.
Good luck
I
with
I was
that.
Higher than that, to be yeah. honest with you. Or the Raiders, like the Raiders have to have cap space. You know, put him opposite Ruggs. You know, and
guess,
make a run for a couple of years. Like, I could see Julio getting some attention.
It's 11.5 in 2022. I mean, you're not getting him on the cheap.
Oh, you're not getting him on the cheap. You better think he's still a top.
And the Falcons are going to want
a second.
Yeah. You're
yeah,
trading
yeah.
Julio
You're not
going to
get him for a seventh or a, you know.
It's not. This isn't Antonio Brown getting traded, and everybody knows that he's got to go.
No, right.
So you get a third and a fifth.
Mm-hmm. No, I would think if you give me a second, you could get in the door. You can sit at the poker table.
And the way receivers have come into the league.
That's why Atlanta should do it.
I don't know that you if I'm a team, I don't know that I want to do that. We can ride out this year and next
year.
Well,
if you're the Packers and you want to win it all. Somebody like that.
I think they're okay at receiver. I mean,
okay.
Yeah.
But could be great. And
they're cruising along at 5-0
mm-hmm.
or 4-0.
I just think Gruden would love a shiny object like that.
Oh,
too.
Gruden would love any shiny object.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why Mayock's there to say no.
Right. Yeah, Gruden still carries a bigger stick.
Gruden would pick up every quarterback who's ever been released.
Yeah.
Every time.
Eagles.
Yeah. I mean.
They're not winning anything with them, but they could use him. Right.
They could use him, but they can't afford him.
Mm-hmm. No, they don't make money next year either.
Yeah. So, again, that would be a rental, and then all of a sudden you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the other part of that equation is if Julio does go somewhere else, is he going to say, well, I want a new contract? You traded for me. I want a new deal.
I mean, like Hopkins did.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's usually how that goes. He doesn't have much of a leg to stand on, though. I mean,
literally.
Right. He's got a screw in his foot and all his other issues with him, too.
I just don't know what he's – I mean, he's going to be 32 next year.
Yeah. Well, maybe some of these are even off-season moves.
Yeah. I don't know. It's going to be awfully difficult to move. This is not like hockey or baseball or something.
Trade deadline and just throw him on the third line and start skating with his buddies or stick him in right field and he doesn't know anything.
Yeah, there are salary cap considerations. There are working these guys into your into your system considerations. I mean – there are a lot of guys out there who, and you
it's not fantasy football.
It's not fantasy football, and a lot of times when you look at the NFL, so much of what happens with a player is about opportunity in the right system.
Oh, sure.
You know, there are a lot of guys who are probably more talented players, but they end up in Jacksonville.
Where there's no doubt about that. I mean, I think Julio and J.J. Watt would be good no matter where they went. You know what I mean? They're pretty special players. But I hear you. I just thought it was interesting that Houston, Atlanta, and inevitably the Jets, we're not even close to Halloween yet, and those guys have given up the ship. You know, they don't have GMs. Well, the Jets will.
Oh, here's another reason why they can't trade Julio Jones. He has a dead cap number of $58.9 million this year.
Wow.
It's $38.5 million next year.
Wow.
You can't trade that.
Yeah. No. You play him. I mean, he's still good. You line up him and Ridley with Ryan or whoever your quarterback
is. And you probably still sell a lot of Julio Jones jerseys.
Right.
But do you sell $38.5 million worth of Julio jerseys?
I mean, he might be the greatest Falcon ever. I think you just hang on to him at that price.
My God.
It's not worth
I didn't even look at that. Like, holy mackerel. That's a big number.
Yeah,
that's quarterback money.
I wish I knew that before the conversation.
You know, people in Pittsburgh were complaining about, oh, the Steelers had $21 million in dead cap space for Antonio Brown.
It wasn't 50.
58.9.
Yeah, he's a Falcon for life. Wow.
It was $69 million last year, for God's sakes.
Holy smokes.
That's a big deal.
I guess if you're going to do that with somebody, you invest in somebody like him. I think he's an all-time great, but wow.
That's a big, big number. That's quarterback money. Anyways, we're going to take a break. He is Matt Williamson. I am Dale Lally. When we come back, we're going to do the Fantasy Football Focus. It's Tuesday. So we'll look around the league and talk about some of that. There's a game tonight.
Yeah, there is a game.
Finishing
tonight.
Off week five, unfortunately.
I wish there was a game Thursday, too.
Be nice.
Yeah.
Not going to happen. But anyways, that's going to do it for our show. So for my partner, Matt Williamson, for Jacob here on site, keeping us on the air, I'm Dale Lally. We want to thank you for listening to this edition of The Drive on Steelers Nation Radio.